Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Galatians 5. I mean, we've gone over this for the last few weeks, but as we look at it again, I'd like to read the passage again. We'll start in verse 16. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." As you know, if you've been here on Sunday nights, we've been going through this list of what we are calling the fruit of the Spirit. And so we've done love, joy, peace, and now we're to patience. About a month ago, Jim called me and asked me if I would teach tonight on that subject, the subject of patience. And I said I would, and I told him I'd be happy to. And as I began to think about the subject, it's like, what do I know about patience? And the thing that came to mind was this, and it's my mother. This comes from my mother. And I'm sure all of your mothers said this exact same thing, right? They said, patience is a virtue, right? Like, I didn't have the only mother that said that. That's great. So she would say that. And for such a statement, usually for me, it came around mealtime. And she was fixing dinner. And my stomach's timetable and my mother's dinner preparedness timetable were in different time zones. I mean, I was more East Coast, she was more West Coast. And so I would have to wait, and she would tell me, patience is a virtue. Incidentally, that's still an issue that my wife can talk to you about. So God still has work to do in me in that way. But what is patience? And what specifically is the fruit of the Spirit that is patience? When my mother told me that patience is a virtue, she wasn't just telling me I was supposed to wait, right? It was the attitude with which I was waiting. And so as I thought about it, I thought, okay, we have this word patience, and it's a fruit of the Spirit, but how do I define it? Like, to me, that was one of the harder things, is to actually put it into words what patience meant. And I looked at several dictionaries. One of the dictionaries that I looked at said this. It said, in a number of languages, patience is expressed idiomatically. Well, then I had to get into the dictionary to look up what that meant, because I didn't know what idiomatically meant. But it means like an idiom. And I knew what an idiom was, I just didn't know what it meant, what it was. But an idiom is an expression that conveys a meaning. Something like, he bit off more than he could chew, or you shot yourself in the foot, right? Like, it's an expression, it conveys a meaning. When I say you bit off more than you can chew, you know what I'm saying. One of my grandmother's favorites was, your eyes were bigger than your belly. That's one that I haven't heard very many places, but she used to say that a lot. But in many languages, it can be expressed idiomatically, and it would sound something like this: to remain seated in one's heart, or to keep one's heart from jumping, or to have a waiting heart. I guess my point is, it's hard to put into words. But I do think that we usually understand the idea. But I want to take a crack at defining patience. And first, I think it's helpful to look at the negative, like what it is not. And it's the opposite of impatience. Impatience would be what Paul has just described as a desire of the flesh. And look at verse 16. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." So all these desires are fruit of the Spirit. They have a fleshly desire that is the exact opposite of it. And Paul says that the desires of the flesh are evident. Everybody knows when somebody's being impatient with you. And usually, if you allow the Spirit to work in you, you realize when you are being impatient with others. So, like I say, I want to define it, first of all, negatively. It's the opposite of impatience. Positively, like I said, patience is not just waiting. When my mother told me patience is a virtue, like I say, she was not talking about the time frame for dinner. She was telling me about the attitude that I was supposed to have, or I was expected to have while waiting for dinner. But if you Google the word patience, you'll see this definition. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. When my dinner was delayed, my irritability went up. It's not just that I had to wait for dinner. I had to wait with a certain attitude. And I do think it's helpful to distinguish between a natural patience and something that is a patience that is the result of the work of the Spirit. We can achieve a patience that is not the work of the Spirit. You see it. Some people are just more patient than others. Or there is some reason that they're willing to be patient because they don't want to shoot themselves in the foot. So sometimes we'll see that, but is that really the work of the Spirit? In his book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, Jeremiah Burroughs makes a distinction between Christian contentment and just a natural contentment. And he'll say it this way: there's just some men that are more naturally content than other men, just like there's some dogs that are more naturally content than other dogs. I would say the same thing about patience. There are some people that are more naturally patient than other people, just like there are some dogs that are more naturally patient than other dogs. But what is the work of the Spirit that is Christian contentment? And truly, the work of the Spirit is something that takes an impatient man and makes him patient. Remember verse 17, "For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit desires what is against the flesh." Christian patience is directly opposed to fleshly impatience. It's the exact opposite. And I believe it was Rick, it might not have been Rick, but I think it was. I'm going to blame him for it anyways, that said, "These different aspects of the Spirit build upon each other." And that's true. After all, one of the greatest statements on love in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13. And having just come through a wedding, that is a boon to the greeting card industry. I don't know how many cards we got that had "love is kind, love is patient." But that's 1 Corinthians 13. And what is the first thing that love is? Right? It's patient. And I would say gentleness is patient as well. Kindness is patient. For sure, self-control is patience. So after thinking about it, if I had to define what Christian patience is, I would say that it's exhibiting the attitudes of the other fruits of the Spirit, or other fruit of the Spirit, as Steve pointed out last week or 2 weeks ago, while we are waiting on God. And I would add the idea of as he is working. So I realize that you're sitting there and I say, I'm not really sure how helpful that definition is to me. So I want to illustrate it in two different ways. Patience can be applied in a ton of different ways, but I want to break it down really into two different categories. First, I want to take a look at patience in relationships. If you could, you should just be able to turn one page in your Bible or scroll down a couple clicks in your phone. But if you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and you look in verse 1 and 2 there, it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we have patience here. And if you take a look, what is the phrase that is describing patience right after it? Patience, bearing with one another in love. All right, look over, if you could, a few more pages. If you could go to Colossians chapter 3. And starting in verse 12, it says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The phrase after patience, once again, is what? Bearing with one another. That's not a coincidence. Here we have two of the one another's in the Bible. And so as we think about how we are to relate to each other and how we might need patience, I would take a look at this, and that's part of it, right? In the King James, the word that they use is long-suffering, right? The idea of time. Like, patience always has an idea of time. But as I take a look at that, and also I do want to point out, it's how do we bear with one another? How are we patient? In love. If we go back to my definition, it's exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, the attitude of the fruits of the Spirit, while waiting on God. So how can I see that worked out, right? Like, how can I see patience worked out in relationships? And I thought of a couple different ways. I'm just going to use an example. Let's say somebody is late, right? And I have, we're supposed to meet, they're late. They could be late for a couple different reasons. The first is just that God has providentially determined that they're not going to be there on time. Maybe they had a flat tire, right? And they had to change it, or they couldn't get it done. While I am waiting on that person, am I going to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit? Am I going to have peace? Am I going to have joy while I am waiting on God as he is working in this situation? Right? Like, in this situation, he's doing something. I don't know what it is. It might be for me. It might be for that other person. But am I willing to wait with peace and joy and love while that's happening? Maybe it's because of some kind, and I hate to use the word moral failure, but maybe there's some problem in that believer's life. Right? Maybe it's something that he's just not as prepared as he should be. Waited late and didn't think about me, and that's the reason that he is late. That probably happens quite a bit too. I'm sure that I've done it as well. But am I willing, once again, to wait on God in that situation? And can I remember that he is working in that person's life just like he's working in my life? And can I then have love for him? Can I have peace in that situation? Or is my spirit, is my flesh going to rise up in me? And am I going to be impatient at that point? Am I going to exhibit the desires of the flesh? I think if you look in Colossians 3, you keep on going down, after it says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Like, that's all part of being patient. Honestly, forgiveness is another fruit of the Spirit. I'm not able to do that truly without God's working in me, without him forgiving me. Like, that's how I'm able to forgive, when I reflect God in that way. The other type of situation that you might need patience is circumstances. Right. So we have patience in our relationships. We also have patience needed in our circumstances. God might have something in your life, right? Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's some kind of delay in a relationship. Maybe you're single and you don't want to be. Maybe you don't have children and you want them. Maybe you have cancer and you don't want that. All these situations that God is using in your life, are you willing to wait as he is working? If you could, turn over to James chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brother, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." The farmer knows about patience, right? And part of the reason that he knows about patience is he plants a seed, and then he has to wait, right? Like, I grew up on a farm, not a very good one, but a farm nonetheless. Most of our cattle stayed alive. But I've never seen a farmer plant a field of corn and then circle it, yelling at the corn to grow. Like, it just wouldn't do anything. Like, he's not impatiently waiting for it. He might be impatient in his spirit, but there's no reason to yell about it, right? Like, it doesn't do anything. The farmer understands patience. And all during that time, after he plants the seed, there's all kinds of things happening that he can't see, right? The seed is germinating, roots are going down into the ground, and eventually there is fruit. And I would say sometimes when we struggle with patience in our circumstances, it's the same way. I mentioned we might struggle with being single. Well, I'm somebody that was single for a long time. And recently got married. My wife was single as well, right? Now, I didn't really have a desire to be married. Not really. But my wife did. That was something she desired. She would like to be married. And God had something for her, right? Like, he had me. And I know it's appropriate to laugh there. But he had me. And if I'd have got married to Laura at 22, that'd have been a bad deal, both for her and for me. And she is patiently waiting on God to work, right? She doesn't know what she's waiting on. She doesn't know that God is working. She doesn't know that God is seeking me out, that he's changing me, that he's making me able to be a husband. She doesn't know all that's happening. She's just patiently waiting. And so the fruit of the Spirit is to do that, to have that stillness in your heart that reflects those other fruits of the Spirit, that reflects the love, joy, peace, kindness, all of those things while waiting on God. We can see the different ways that we can wait. We can wait, and we can be patient in relationships. We can be patient in our circumstances. But I was left with one other question. How do I grow patience in myself? I mean, what can I do? Like, if I am impatient, if that's something I'm struggling with, how can I get patience? And this is probably one of the first messages that really made a difference in my life. It was a chapel sermon that I didn't listen to in chapel. I was actually, it was actually sermon audio that I listened to it on. But I was really struggling with these desires of the flesh. I was not walking in the Spirit. I was doing all the things that they're talking about here, but I didn't want to. And so I felt, to an extent, that I was addicted, if you will. So I typed in addiction in sermon audio. And wouldn't you know, a chapel sermon from Bob Jones comes up. And it's called Addiction Proofing Your Soul. And it was on this passage. But we got in it, and it said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And I was like, okay, well, let's walk in the Spirit, right? You know, but what does that mean? Like, how can I do that? All right, I'm just going to walk in him now. And I felt that was harder for me to grasp what I could do in that situation. But the chapel speaker paralleled it to the passage in Colossians. And he gives all the same fruits there, right? Many of them. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. We go down to love. But instead of walking in the Spirit, he tells you to do a different thing. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Are you letting this dwell in you richly? Are you in it? It's the only thing that can give you these fruits. And I can tell you to be patient, but once again, it's something we're waiting on God to do, right? It's not the fruit of your work. It's the fruit of the Spirit's work. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Walk in the Spirit. The second thing is to remember God's patience with us. Peter said, how often must I forgive my brother? Seven times? That to Peter was patience, right? Seven times was patience to Peter. And the Lord says, 70 times seven. No, I mean, seven times isn't enough. And we can also look at the parable of the forgiven debtor who was forgiven much but then wouldn't forgive, right? That's why we forgive. That's why we're patient, because we've been forgiven, because God has been patient with us. The last thing, and this is the reason why it's important to be in Scripture and to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, because we are confronted with who God is and what he is doing. He is a patient God. He is patient with us. We're to reflect that. And he is also working. So my definition was exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit while waiting on God, who is working. Do we believe that when I'm in that interpersonal relationship with a brother? Do you believe it with your kids? I don't think there's very many kids in here, but do the kids believe it with their parents? That God is working. Am I willing to wait on him while he's working? Sometimes I'm tempted to be discouraged because maybe somebody's not as involved in church as I would like them to be, or as fervent for the gospel as I would like them to be. And I'm sure there are people that look at me and say the exact same thing. John's not as fervent for the gospel as I wish he was. And I say that God works on his own timetable. I have to remember that I wasn't always that way either, and God had to work. And now I have to let God do that in somebody else. Like, I have to be kind to that person and gentle with that person while I'm waiting on God. And I can be assured that he is working. Sometimes we don't see it. If you turn over to Ephesians, there's a verse there, verse 11. It says, in him we have obtained it, of chapter 1. It says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him. And in the NASB translates it, who is working all things according to the counsel of his will. Sometimes, let's say the example I gave of Laura, she can't necessarily see God's working in this, right? We're just asked to trust. But we can be confident that God is currently and actively working all things. There isn't anything that his hand is not on. And we can be patient because of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for who you are, what your Spirit is doing in us, what you have promised to do. And I pray, Father, that we would patiently wait on you. We ask it in Jesus' name.